We live in a day of a lot of knowledge. But it's a knowledge that really people aren't benefiting from. There's no development. Any kind of knowledge that doesn't bring you into a deeper understanding of the fear of the Lord, any knowledge that doesn't minister to you of your accountability and of your need to walk circumspectly before the Lord is not true knowledge. It's a knowledge that is just fluff, and the church is overwhelmed with knowledge. It says in the book of Amos that in the last days there will be a famine of the word, but the real famine is a famine of the hearing of the word. Within the voice, within the word of God, there should always be a voice that beckons and pulls your heart closer to him. So like it says in the book of Acts, the Jews in Jesus' day, they read the scriptures every Sabbath. They read the scriptures, but it says they did not hear the voices of the prophets and the voice of God himself in the reading of the scriptures. And so knowledge has very little value if it doesn't communicate to you your own responsibility to walk in it. So in Isaiah 11:2, we read about the sevenfold Spirit of God, which we did a bit of a study on in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 4, it talks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. It talks about sevenfold Spirit of God multiple times in the book of Revelation. It is an eternal truth that is always present with God and in God. And anytime you touch his presence, that sevenfold Spirit is seeking to minister unto you the power and the wonder of all that Jesus is. So Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And you'll notice, first of all, it says the Spirit of the Lord shall rest, and then you have three pairs. These are spiritual ministrations that are complements to one another. So the last pair is the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Notice it isn't just knowledge, it's a spiritual ministration. The true knowledge of God comes to us through the Spirit that illuminates and reveals the wonder of Christ. Too many men and women today are caught up in a knowledge that doesn't have in its garments the fear of the Lord. And so there is no real true ministration of knowledge without the ministration of the fear of the Lord. It's like if you separate water into hydrogen and oxygen, you can have the two of them separated, but you don't have water. And without the Spirit of knowledge ministering to you the deep things of God, being coupled with the fear of the Lord, you do not have the true understanding of God. So in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, maybe we'll go to that. We see that tremendous ministration of God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Hebrew there says the fear of the Lord is the principal part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So men can have knowledge without understanding. The true understanding of any one of us is correlated to the depth of your understanding of what is holy and who is holy. And there is a ministration in that. You'll see, like in my travels, I get to travel in a pretty wide variety of people gathering together, whether it's your typical church or home fellowships. But you'll go places where there is no fear of God. There is this lightness, there is a chatter, there is a presumption that knowledge brings. And it's a presumption that blinds people to the real truth of who God is. You can learn about Him, and in your learning, you can be blinded by a growth in knowledge without a growth in the fear of the Lord. There is a capacity. What does the New Testament say? Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge will make you feel like you've heard it in the world. Knowledge is power. And so there is a knowledge that makes you feel like you really know something. But it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Charity is the result of the ministration of truth. The true love of God in you will produce a walk that is careful, will cause you to tread the word of God in a holy way, where you aren't quick to quickly just blab about it. You realize you're treading something that is God's intent in His word is to present Jesus to you. And in that presentation, the more your heart is accustomed to that which is holy, the more settled and still you become as you read His word. There is a ministration of an awe. And as you sit down before the word of God, you begin to realize that your ability to understand that word will only come as you learn to abide in Him. And years ago, when I was going through a incredible transition where God was taking me out of these circles that I used to run in, God, man, He spoke to me. I mean, He took me apart, but He spoke to me early in this thing, and He said, you're not going to understand the scriptures until you know me. And the majority of God's people seek the scriptures to know God, but it's in knowing Him that the scriptures unfold. And so there is a knowledge of something, and there's a knowledge about something. And the church today has gorged herself on the knowledge about God, but very few of God's people have the knowledge of God. And that's where you begin to take on a demeanor inside your heart that allows God to open His word to you. And in opening His word, you are ever humbled in the seeing of Him. So one of the big things about this, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, is it's actually quite an easy thing to, as you start traveling and we encourage everybody to go different places and because there's only one church, so we hold fast to that. But within this one church, Paul says, in a great house, there's vessels of glory and honor, and there's vessels of dishonor. in one house and in one place. So God is ever seeking to bring you into the ability to discern and to comprehend that which is holy and that which is chaff. Because it's in your ability to discern what is good and evil that you are able to receive the good and discard that which is no value in your heart before God. And so, presumption is the atmosphere. The word that came to me this morning, presumption is the atmosphere of the deceived. When a people feel superior, when they feel vaunted by a certain amount of knowledge they have, they become presumptuous. And in that presumption, they get deceived as to their own spiritual condition. If you ever get the feeling you've arrived, it's time to seek God. Because in touching His presence, you will never, ever feel like I've arrived. There is, I mean, you read about Paul, and he says, I was caught up to the third heaven, and I heard things that are unutterable in the language of men. And you read about him in Philippians, and he says, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. He, even with all of his heavenly experiences, Moses on the mount, he saw all the miracles, the devastation of Egypt. He saw the bread coming from heaven. His whole life was a whole life of miracles. And at the end, he prays. He's got this prayer. I just love this prayer. He prays, Lord, show me your glory. And you're like, if any man has seen the glory of God, and yet he knows there's depths and heights and wonders. And so if you ever start getting to the point of thinking you're doing pretty good, seek God. And there will ever be an unfolding of eternal vistas that bring you to the place of a new thirst and a new hunger and a new cry to know God in a deeper, fuller way. And so in all of this, we are being instructed by His Spirit to walk before a holy God. And as you do, you're more careful. Like I liken it unto the electrical field, being an electrician. And you know, if you're wiring a house 140 volt, 240 volts, it's not a big deal. You're slack with it. You don't mind working with it hot. I did it all the time. I get zipped once in a while, but it's not anything to really concern yourself with. But when you get into high voltage vaults where you've got 20,000 volts, if you move your hand too quickly, you're dead. If you drop a tool, you move your hand slowly because you're dealing with power that you can't see. You're dealing with power that is beyond your comprehension, and one bad move and you're gone. And so within the wisdom and power of God, every man's journey in God, like we have the picture of the tabernacle, we start off in the outer court, and there's the natural light shines on the word, and we begin to see things on a certain level, and it's a wide place, it's a comfortable place, it's a secure place, it's got you're shielded by the righteousness of God is revealed in the white linen fence, and things are pretty good. And but as the Spirit of God moves you on, then He begins to bring you into the holy place, and all of a sudden the light of day the scriptures begin to take on a whole nother layer of truth. And there is a sense of a growing holiness. And there's the ministration of the gifts of the Spirit beginning to happen in your life. And you're beginning to realize that there's a certain carefulness in your walk that you want to know. And you're in the ministration of the gifts through yourself and through others, you begin to realize there's a knowledge that's beyond what you know. And, you know, someone might come to you with a word of knowledge, or you might go to someone with a word of knowledge, and you're sharing something that's beyond the eyes of men. And that's pretty good, and people get comfortable there. But the inevitability, if you've got a sensitivity to your spirit, God will begin to bring you into the holiest of all. Now, that's a whole different realm. And the gifts even fade. There's something beyond gifts. There's a place where you begin to minister out of the heart and the presence of God within you. And so we have, like we've touched on before, we've got Elijah standing before Ahab the king, and he goes, "As the Lord my God liveth, before whom I stand, it's not going to rain." And so we got these different realms in God, and if you're not careful, it's easy to settle for something. It's easy to presume that you have all that God has for you. And I've been in fellowships that have met for 20, 30 years. They actually, part of the overgrownness of a people that are ingrown is they develop their own language. They'll have phrases that nobody else uses. And you're like, this ain't good. This ain't good. This is an isolated people. And so the work of God within you will always keep you from becoming ingrown. There'll be something about the love of God that'll keep you reaching out into the world around you. And you are alive in the will of God to others. And there's always something within the love and the holiness of God that keeps you running in the streams of His life. And if we go to Ezekiel 47, I think it's verse 11. There is a grave responsibility. A people who feel that they've arrived or are very proud in their knowledge, they lose sight of the river. There's a river, it says in Psalm 46, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. That river is flowing and has flowed from before creation. Ezekiel sees it, John sees it in the book of Revelation. It's called the river of life. And the river, the life is in the river. And it's the responsibility of each and every believer to keep themselves in the river. And so in Ezekiel 47, let's go down here. I'm in Linda's translation here. I was trying to be current. But anyway, it talks about the backwaters and the eddies and the marshes. They're not healed. There's a judgment that comes on a people. Like when you're flying in an airplane, you go over some of these really old creeks and rivers. The river finally cuts itself off, and you end up with water that's no longer part of the river. The river has flowed, and it's cut into its banks, and pretty soon it makes a new channel for itself. But there is an old part of the river that has water in it, and it becomes stagnant. It becomes out of the flow of God. God says he judges those things. He judges those who at one time were in the flow and have lost it. There is a doctrinal thing that men do, and they continue to do it. And 30 years later, the river has created a new channel, and they're out of the flow of God, and they don't know it. Samson, he had a Nazirite vow that kept him in the strength of God. And as he became careless with a woman, she enticed him, and she discovered the source of his strength. And they cut his hair off, and the word declares that Samson did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Those are all pictures for us. And those are pictures. See, that's where the fear of the Lord comes in, is the fear of the Lord saves you from presumption. It saves you from a comfort level that's not of God. And God wants you to be confident in Him. But it's a confidence because you're living and abiding in the river of life. And there is a holy sense of knowing that you are in the will of God, you are in the life of God, and you are walking in the purposes of God. And that thing doesn't develop overnight. These are things that come as you grow and taste and see that God is good. And the more you touch His presence, the more you become aware of the wonder of God. And we have a safety. The thing is a safety. And there is the keeping power of God, because you have come into tune with God. You are sensitive to the things that of the Spirit of God moving. So that was all a bit of a preamble.
4711 says about the migraine.
4711? Thanks. Linda found it. Okay, we'll just read that out of Ezekiel 47, verse 11. But the miry places thereof and the marshes shall not be healed. There's a coming move of God to your generation. There is a river that God is going to unleash in these last days. There is something the church has never seen. I know it. It's coming. And God is at work preparing a people for that river. Paul says in Ephesians that you might be strengthened with all might to receive the revelation of God. It takes a strengthening of the ministry of the Spirit of God for you to be witness to the unveiling of Him to you in a personal way. We won't get into that today, but read Ephesians there. Paul, Ephesians is one of the books of the depths and the heights of God. Paul was fully released to minister deep things in God, and he had to preface some of the things he shared with them with a prayer for them to be strengthened within the inner man, that they might know the call of God. I mean, he says that in it, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That isn't something that you're just going to wake up one day. That's going to be a people who have been strengthened to stand in the holy place, holiest of all, and behold God. These are things that, they take the air out of you. But anyway, the job of every believer, the job of you, the full-time requirement of the Spirit of God in you is to stay in His river. And those who stay in the river flow. And you'll read Ezekiel, and this is, I mean, the whole chapter for Ezekiel 47, You can't read it enough. You can't spend enough time in it. But what does it start off? Ezekiel starts off standing on the side of the river, going, this is the river of God. And a lot of people are satisfied with knowing there's a river. They'll teach on it. They'll talk about it. They might even break down that water is H2O. They might even get into the details of it. But they don't walk in it. That's the difference between the spirit of knowledge and just having a carnal knowledge of things about God. The true knowledge of God, the angel comes and measures out 1,000 cubits, and Ezekiel goes, I gotta step into this river. I'm not here to read about it. I can. There's something that transpires in your heart, and you go, I'm tired of hearing about this river. I'm tired of reading about it in books. I'd read all these great men stories of men and women. And there's something in your heart that goes, as awesome as that is, I got to step into that river for myself. As awesome as God was to each one of those, I got to start stepping into the river for myself. And that's when life begins. That's when the Christian life goes from a nice teaching into an adventure. The Christian life is an adventure into unheard of things. And no matter what you've touched, I mean, go back to Moses again. All the miracles he ever saw, all the wonders he saw, his last days on earth, his prayer is, it's the last prayer of Moses, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Because whatever you've walked in, whatever I've walked in, it's nothing compared to what he has. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Stay, don't allow yourself to become complacent. Complacency is the revelation of a stagnant life. Stay in the river. Keep touching the river. And whatever flows out of you, it's just the beginning of greater things.